Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Today, the power of editorial cartooning. Adam Zyglis is with us. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist for the Buffalo News and joins us from Buffalo. And Adam, welcome back to the show. It's good to talk to you again.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, I get the sense from looking at some of your cartooning over the last 30 days or so that Donald Trump is a rather rich subject for someone like you. Is that true?
Yeah, actually, as you would expect, it's just the challenge is actually to try to cover other topics during this crazy time because he's keeping us so busy, us in satire, that, you know, we really could fill our entire week's time slot with work from him. So the challenge is to cover other bases.
I want to take apart the way that you're drawing Trump, though, because when you really study it, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you show him with these exaggerated pursed lips and these really strong arched eyebrows, and you have him with kind of an oversized head. Tell me a little bit about the sensibility of how you draw someone without making them a caricature, because I assume that's not what you're after.
Well, it's a fine line. I want to capture the likeness and really kind of capture the personality of the person, but also infuse opinion in the way I depict him. So a lot of the details that I choose to draw him with are meant to, you know, express sort of an opinion about him. So I do kind of make him almost childlike in size. I've reduced his stature over the cartoons. His hands become smaller and smaller ever since the, you know, back and forth about his, during the debate, his reference to his hands and the small-fingered Bulgarian. So things like that. But I also, there's like three looks that he gives that really I kind of go to. There's sort of the Donald Duck face where he's kind of pushes his lips out.
Yeah.
And he's very expressive. So he's wonderful for cartoonists in that regard. But then there's also sort of the smug smile look where he's kind of got that big grin. And then there's sort of the O mouth, sort of angry, sort of bluster face.
Right.
And you kind of oscillate between all those.
You know, I didn't notice the hands shrinking because I was looking over, I don't know, like maybe a month of your cartooning around Trump, but I didn't know that you were shrinking the hands ever smaller. That's pretty funny. There's an August 12th cartoon that shows Trump sitting on a stool at a comedy club with eggs and banana peels splattering behind him as if on kind of the wall behind him. And the sandwich board sign sitting next to the stool says, "Comedy Hour, make America a punchline again." And Trump is saying, "A Russian hacker, Hillary Clinton, and a Second Amendment person walk into a bar." Well, I mean, there's a lot of dimension to the cartoon. Tell me what you were thinking about as you put that all together.
In that particular case, I think really I was trying to thread a lot of events together in one image. And really, there was a commonality with Trump's, when he would sort of get into trouble with these remarks that he would make, whether it was on, you know, the Hillary Clinton hacking into her email, encouraging Russia to do this, in terms of hinting at her, the Second Amendment people taking her out, all these, you know, explosive comments that he made, his defense has been, in sort of one way or another, is that he's sarcastic or joking and the media can't take a joke. So to me, this just represents the way hasn't gone over well. It's a big problem with Trump is you can't joke about certain things when you're this far along in a presidential campaign, and he's learning the hard way. So to me, it's like a stand-up act gone bad.
You know, some of that is also if he really is being sarcastic or satirical or joking, many of the voters that are watching him can't tell that.
And
I think don't believe him. Yeah. And you say that's the danger. Why?
Well, and that is the danger. I think his hardcore followers, there's something sort of sinister about this campaign because a lot of his casual followers will write off a lot of what he says as a joke or just Trump being Trump. But some of the really hardcore followers, you notice there are, you know, there's sort of a white nationalist movement that has supported him. And there are elements in his campaign. They are small, but they, you know, kind of pose, represent a part of the electorate. And those people take him literally. When you see them interviewed or polls are done on what they believe, they don't think he's lying, and he'll even defend these comments before he says he is. So because there's this gray area, it sends a very dangerous message. When you put your words are powerful, especially coming from someone like this, it could legitimize a radical thought if it's said by someone in such power.
Yeah, well, pictures are powerful too, and you know that well, don't you?
Yes, I elicit a big reaction with a visual.
Tell me about that. I was curious.
Well, in this, as you can imagine, in this presidential election, the emotion level is quite high, and I've gotten probably a record number of emails and just sort of a level of feedback from my work. And the troubling part is I used to be able to engage with these readers a lot more effectively after the fact. It would start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The troubling thing this time around is when I do engage these readers, they seem to have a set of facts that don't line up with, sort of the truth that we know is real, that we verified. And so I'm dealing with two different people two different realities. So it's hard to bridge the gap this time around, and it's creating a more troubling landscape for our electorate. And I don't see it getting better whoever wins. That is one of the troubling aspects.
So this is challenging, though, for you, Adam, because, I've experienced the same thing. There are a set of facts, and you may tweet in at me or email me with your screeds. And yes, I get a lot of that, too. But in the end, I can show you sometimes where the facts don't line up with what you believe. But you are an editorial cartoonist. So you're also expressing your opinion. And what people are taking umbrage to, I think, is not just the facts that you're using to inform your opinion, but that you're also expressing an opinion that they're not going to agree with ever.
Right. And I'm using fiction often to get at this truth, even though I have facts to back up my opinion. Satire really just tells lies to get at a greater truth. So to an audience maybe that isn't used to consuming satire or, critics that will see my cartoon, for them to sort of understand, that I'm actually going from a base of facts, they get that after I start engaging with them. But they still think, that I'm sort of lying to them, part of the left-wing media machine. So it is difficult, especially in this, as you were saying, in this environment, with my medium to sort of break through to some people. One thing is it's explosive in terms of getting people's reaction. So that's been very effective.
I've never heard it put that way, what you just said about satire, that you're using fiction to get at fact. And sometimes that can be more subtle than I think occurs to many of the people that are looking at your cartoons. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think the goal of it is when you use fiction, you create an idea in someone's mind. You're giving them a metaphor so they can fully understand almost better the situation. But to a certain audience, the subtleties and, it takes a certain level, a certain reader to understand satire sometimes.
Right.
So part of my job is almost educating when there is a reader that doesn't get it. That's part of the process is I'm trying to explain to everybody what the role of satire is and not just preach to the choir of people that, love seeing Trump cartoons.
Adam Zyglis is our guest for our opinion and commentary segment. We do this most Tuesdays. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning editorial cartoonist for the Buffalo News. Adam, one of the things that you did for the Clinton campaign is you created this Clinton Venn diagram, which I loved. And these were two circles intersecting with each other, and Bill Clinton's head is in the middle of the intersection of the circles. And it says, Hillary's biggest assets / Hillary's biggest liabilities. I was curious as to whether Clinton is as interesting to satirize as Trump is.
I think she is, but Trump is getting in the way so much, I think. Trump is her best friend right now because as a satirist, I think just like anything else, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And with a presidential candidate, the campaign is great for cartoonists because you get to know the candidates and you sort of, you get better at satirizing them and their issues and their features as it goes along. The trouble with Hillary, she hasn't had a press conference in almost 260 days, which actually might be the topic of my cartoon tomorrow. But
Good.
You know, for good reason, because she doesn't feel like she needs to, because Trump is sort of this vacuum sucking everything away. But Hillary is, to me, it's fascinating because of her past. You know, Bill Clinton, as this topic of this cartoon, really, if you take the Clinton, you know, presidency away from her background, and takes away a lot of the controversy, but it also takes away a lot of, you know, the strength she gets from Bill. So I think as the campaign goes on, we will, you know, sort of hopefully sink our teeth more into the Clinton campaign. And if Trump wisely starts to correct course and stay off the front pages.
is life not going to be quite as interesting for an editorial cartoonist after the election?
Well, it really cuts both ways. I used to always say I really actually don't love covering the presidential campaigns because there's an obligation and it overshadows so many other issues. So in a sense, I'll be relieved that some of the other issues locally here in Buffalo and New York State and nationally that I care about, social justice, climate change, I haven't been able to cover them as well. So in a way, it'll kind of help balance the world out a little bit.
Good to talk to you again. Hey, thank you.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Adam Zyglis is an editorial cartoonist for the Buffalo Evening News and a Pulitzer Prize winner.